Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Conscious Vibe Podcast,
where we elevate intellect through conscious dialogue
while exploring race, politics, business, and culture.
I'm Dr. Daryl L. Jones.
And I'm Charles D. Mitchell.
So
welcome to Conscious Conversations. DJ, how are you?
Man, I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Really am. Really am. So name, image, and likeness, NIL. We're a long ways from Charles O'Bannon, I believe, was it?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, right. What was that, UCLA? 20 plus years ago?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Maybe even longer than 20 years.
At least 20 years. Yes. Whole video game, revenue streams being created.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, obviously what we, you know, the argument has been for a long time that student athletes shouldn't be paid because they get, you know, free tuition, probably a, you know, hopefully a really good education. Mm-hmm. If you take advantage of, you have the opportunity for that. But also you have critics of this money machine that's college athletics, particularly in the predominant sports of football and primarily basketball, right? I'd say those two for sure, where you make most of the revenue in those sports. And, you know, there are folks who would say that, you know, that's enough. Kids get education. Why do we need this name, image, and likeness? Why do the players need to get paid to play? But I also think there's a contrary conversation to that. And we'd love your thoughts.
Yeah, well, it's not enough. And who's to say it's enough? And it's enough for whom, right?
Right, exactly.
You know, one of the things I think becomes really interesting about this conversation for me, Charles, is what is the argument for not compensating, appropriately compensating student athletes for all of the revenue that they bring in? I understand that they're also receiving an education, having it paid for, et cetera. But that comes in many forms too. So should a scholarship, an academic scholarship student not be able to earn money at the same time?
Exactly.
Right?
Yep.
And the thing is we know the legacy lives beyond the 1 to 4 years that that student athlete is there. So we still have schools benefiting from star athletes decades after they've left.
Particularly those who excelled, won Heisman trophies.
Absolutely.
Or were, you know, say, Naismith Smith Player of the Year. Like, those legacies continue.
Absolutely.
And those legacies create opportunities that perhaps wouldn't exist without the predominance that those kids displayed on the field or on the court.
And when did it ever become appropriate for the name, image, and likeness of a student athlete to be disqualified as an income stream for the student athlete?
Sure.
But it's great for the school.
Sure, sure. If I'm on scholarship, academic scholarship at a university, and I somehow am able to elevate, you know, I don't know, social media, these days anybody can do any of this stuff, right? How can I not get paid as an athlete when a student on scholarship can do the exact same thing?
Yeah, absolutely.
And have no issues. And no one has an argument around it to say that we shouldn't be doing it, right? No one's ever said that someone who's on an academic scholarship or postgraduate research where they get a $100,000 stipend, which takes care of their research and their living expenses, all those things, why can't we apply that to athletics too?
Yeah, it's a travesty, and it should be a zero conversation to me. And I think student athletes should be able to earn as much as the marketplace allows them to. We also have in a whole amateur sport world, call it golf, tennis, et cetera, 14, 15-year-old soccer, right? There are no limitations.
Zero.
On what they can earn as young professional athletes. But because someone has made a decision to attend college, all of that now is disqualified. It makes zero sense. A lot of these student athletes, quite honestly, Charles, would be receiving financial assistance anyway based on their economic situation. So the logic is thinner and thinner, man, as we understand how economics work, et cetera. And I'm a fan of these student athletes being able to generate as much NIL revenue as they can. And it's happening now. And we're seeing how some of the most iconic, and I'm using air quotes, coaches are responding to them. Mm-hmm. They're having trouble with it.
Of course.
At some of these major institutions, i.e. Nick Saban, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But I think it's long overdue. And we don't want to start talking about reparations and all that kind of mm-hmm. thing around this, like, right?
Does Reggie Bush get his Heisman Trophy back?
Man, isn't that something?
Right.
Isn't that something?
Right. I mean, there's so many scenarios where, you know, young men have made decisions around, and look, let's be really honest. Colleges, coaches have been paying players for decades.
Absolutely.
For decades, right? That's a practice that has gone on under the radar, sometimes not under the radar. We all know about it, right? We all know someone who got, you know, cash slipped under the yep. table, you know, riding around campus in a new car, whatever the case may be, right? But we all know that this has happened in the past, and there were punitive damages that were imposed when you got caught, right? What does that look like now? How do we go back into the past and say, oh, well, it's okay that we did this, do this now, but back then, whatever consequences were provided at that particular point, we're done with it. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, so we know capitalism is alive and well in this country. Mm-hmm. And it's the foundation benefits. For a lot of aspects of this country. But it's amazing when folks want to cut that off. And
well, and cut it off for who they want to cut it off for.
Absolutely, right?
Right.
So it's very situational. So I'm a big proponent of NIL opportunities for student athletes. And I think if it forces the NCAA and these iconic coaches to reshift and think about their own salaries, think about their own compensation, we'll talk about that down the road, the money these cats are making.
Oh, it's crazy.
Incredible, man.
It's incredible.
Right?
Look, and nobody's saying take it out of their pockets either, right? That's not the point. You know, the point is if we're going to share the pie, let's share the pie, right? And make everyone be a participant. As opposed to we've got these crumbs that we hand out and we hand it out in the form of, hey, here's an opportunity for education. And I'm not downplaying that at all because I'm a huge proponent of education. I think anybody who has that opportunity, if you squander it, that's on you, right? You don't take advantage of the fact that you're in a, you know, major college institution where you can get the access to a college education that you otherwise may not have. Mm-hmm. On you if you don't take advantage of it. You have to be deliberate about that and make sure that you take care of that business for yourself and for your future. But we can't sit here and pretend like that's enough.
We can't, especially as we see college head coach contracts extend out now to the year 2030, et cetera. See, they want that guaranteed money.
Mm-hmm.
And when you start shifting their ability to use boosters, et cetera, to garner some of this talent, then you start dipping into their contract, because I'll talk about it now. There's a component of Nick Saban's contract that's a talent fee, which is crazy as hell. There's actually a talent
fee. You say a talent fee?
Absolutely, in his contract, right? So now you start to understand why he might be a little upset that some of these young black athletes are starting to operate with a different self-identity. And Jackson State actually seems like a great home for me, an extension of my self-identity. Now we can see why that might be a problem when your contract actually has talent clauses in it and that sort of thing as well. So you start to dig into it, it gets really interesting, but it's also becomes more obvious why folks are struggling.
Super right? interesting. Yeah. I don't think it's something I did not know. That's super interesting.
Yeah, there are performance bonuses, you know, as we know, Charles, sure. and that sort of thing, right? Yeah. And then the guaranteed money's just stupid. But within that, there are clauses in these contracts that nobody likes to talk about. until you open your mouth and you start opening up what your contract looks like.
Well, you know, there's so much we can dig into here. I know we want to go into some other conversations and topics, but appreciate you exploring this with me for a few minutes.
Absolutely.
And we'll do more of this.
My pleasure.
And thank you for joining us on Conscious Conversations.
Thank you for joining us.
And check us out on tcvpodcast.com.